enthusiastic about that. It's not as, as he said, it is definitely a joint effort, and it's been a vision of many to do what we do here. It's not a light undertaking. We are a camp without facilities. You know, we there's a lot of reasons why we maybe couldn't or shouldn't do what we do, but God. Yeah. Amen. And it's just been a God thing. It really has truly been a God thing. It's been a vision of many. And it's, you know, I pastor one of the most amazing congregations in the world, and I say that without hesitation. They truly are a phenomenal group of people, and I honor them. And so I'm just honored they let me hang around with them. Amen. And so, you know, I'm a little bit like Josh. I love what he had to say last night, some incredible stuff. You've heard some incredible word this week, so I'll just say amen to whatever everybody else has already said, and then we'll just move on, all right? But, he said, he made a statement last night, and he's, you know, talking about his heritage. He said he had a Christian heritage. He's just born into the kingdom and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And I love what that, and he said he was reaping in a vineyard that he didn't sow. And I stand here tonight, Josh, reaping in a vineyard that I didn't sow. But I thank God for an opportunity and a heritage and a legacy that was sowed into me. And people say, why do you still do what you do? Because I made a statement many, many years ago. And many a lot of times, every time I'd leave camp and go home, it was the last one I was ever going to do. I wasn't going to do it again. That's it. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. And many times over, I've said, well, my kids are teenagers and they're through camp. I am not doing camp anymore. Well, the problem is then my kids had kids. And now I got to get my grandkids through it. And then by the time they get through it, then they're going to have kids. So I do what I'm doing because I'm planting vineyards for my generations yet to come. Because there's a generation of people that's going to stand up and bless the Lord. And they're going to do it in an even greater fashion than what I've ever done. See, success without successors is really no success at all. And God has really placed on my heart and really has really spoke to me just in this last year, last 6 months, as we've been talking about discipleship and empowering and training and putting resources in the hands of those who have the vision and then let them do what God has called them to do. Amen. I want my children to be more powerful than me. I have not a jealous bone in my body. I'm not in competition with anybody. When my kids stand up and tear it up, I want to raise the roof because that's what I'm about. That's what I want. I want my generations to rise up and praise the Lord. Noah was faithful to his household. And you know, sometimes we think, well, I don't have a great ministry. I don't know what God's called me to do. I've never preached a big sermon. I've never, you know, worshiped all night long or whatever. But I raised my kids to know God, and I raised them in the house of the Lord. And Noah, when the door closed, his family was on board with what God was about to do. There's something about being a faithful mom, a faithful dad, a faithful minister that says, as for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So I had that heritage. I was saved when I was 3 years old. And you might not think that's possible or real. It's 3, 4, somewhere around there. But we made bread in a session this week down in the dining hall. If you were in the culinary session and you made homemade bread, raise your hand. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Manna from heaven, right? Absolutely manna from heaven. And so they made that homemade. If you got to eat the homemade bread, raise your hand. Yeah. If you missed out on the fried hoe cakes, I'm sorry for you. But they did have fried hoe cakes down there, too. And that's a whole nother story. But bread baking is very special to me. Can I just tell you a little story and then we'll move on? When I was about 3 years old, see, I wasn't born into a Christian home, but I didn't take long to get there. My dad was an alcoholic, and my mom was raised in the bars. Her grandparents were alcoholics. We had that on both sides of us. And God, I literally tell you, God divinely stepped into our house and changed the course of our history and delivered my dad overnight from alcoholism like that. The shirt I wore this week, it said, if you'll save me, I'll serve you. That's all we knew to say. I don't know how to get saved. I don't know what, you know, he said there was no lightning crash, no thunder roll, but he said, God, if you'll save me, I'll serve you. And he did just what he said. Hallelujah. And so God divinely stepped into our house and changed our course of history, because I'm pretty sure had God not done that, we would have all went down that same road that we had learned and what we had been taught. But when God stepped in, I was sitting on the dining room table. It was a long time ago. I was sitting on the dining room table when my mom was telling me about getting saved, and she said, well, I just asked Jesus to come into my heart. So I got down from the table and I went into the living room where the couch set along this wall with that house right over there. And I knelt down and I said, Jesus, come into my heart. 3 years old. I'm doing this for my grandbabies. Have a vineyard to reap of things that we're sowing right now. So that when my granddaughter comes up here on a Sunday morning and the music starts and she comes up the aisle doing this, because she knows it's time to get her praise on. Hallelujah. I don't take that lightly, because there is no little Holy Ghost. I told you that the other night. There's no such thing as a little Holy Ghost, because when the power of God touches them, their hearts is sensitive to that and they begin to minister out of that. I took my grandbaby Georgia with me. We had a person in our church who was going to, and we went to minister with him, but I was on Nana duty also, okay? You understand, you know, these pastors, you got Nana duty and you got pastor duty, so you just put it all in one basket and you go, right? And so we went to the hospital, and the man had had surgery on his leg, and these kids, these got people who just absolutely love our children. They sit on the front pew so they can watch them dance. And we went to visit him, and the nurse says, you can't take her in there. And I said, oh, I didn't even think about the fact that she's too little for a visitation. I said, I'm very sorry. Another nurse steps up and she said, you can take her in, but you can only stay 10 minutes. I said, I promise you, we won't. Thank you for giving us grace. And I apologize. I didn't even think about it. And we walked into the room to minister to them. And before we left, I said, we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And she was standing with me. God is my witness. She's standing with me. She's only three now, so she wasn't much, about a little over 2 years old. And he's laying in that bed. We get ready to pray. The leg that had been operated on was this leg. She was standing on this side. And when we started to pray, she walked around that bed and laid hands on the leg that had been operated on and prayed for that man. And I'm telling you what, the Holy Ghost moved in that room. And I said, God, you are just too good. There is no little Holy Ghost. You can't tell me that they can't sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, if you're sitting here tonight and you think you're too young, you're too small, you don't come from the right family, you don't have the right heritage, you need to clear out the clutter, because I'm telling you, God's hand on you is strong. It's anointed. You're powerful. You're called. You're chosen. And no weapon formed against you can prosper. Hallelujah. And so I thought about, you know, this brave thing. I'm like Jeremy. We're related, obviously. He's my nephew. We got the same genes. I'm not brave either, Jeremy. I'm a great big coward at times. I was thinking of a story. and Kevin told the story about the bat and made me think about it. My husband works second shift, and we got a bat in our house. I called my dad. I said, Dad, you got to come. Dan's at work, and there's a bat in my house. And then this thought went through my head. And my brothers and sisters know this, because the last bat that got in our house when I was a kid, my dad shot it with a shotgun. That's a true story. Is that a true story, Mom? My dad shot it with a shotgun. I just closed the door, went outside, and waited till Dad got there. I was going to let him take care of the bat, poor bat. But you know what happens sometimes? And I've been afraid of mice, little furry mice. I think it's because they're so quick. I'm not really sure what it is about them. But I came home the other day and one was caught in a trap in our house. It, like, one of them, like, sticky traps. And so I stood there and I looked at it thinking, okay, what am I going to do about this? Because I'm not very good in these situations. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in my office. I'm going to close the door. Because my husband's going to be home in about a half an hour. And he's like the Holy Ghost in our house. He'll just move on that situation and he'll take care of that. And he's going to deliver me out of the hands of that furry little creature. So I'm a little bit like that. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, brave means ready to face and endure danger or pain, showing courage. Like, okay, then what's courage mean? Courage means not deterred by danger or pain. Brave. They're kind of the same thing. To be brave is to risk failure. You know, one of the things that one of the major factors that keeps us from doing what we need to do, accomplishing what we need to accomplish, is fear of failure. We don't step out sometimes in, you know, when God speaks to us, we don't, what if I'm wrong? You know, what if I'm wrong? What if I didn't hear God? Well, what if you did? What if you maybe just did hear God and you step out? And what if God really does move on behalf of what you're saying? So sometimes, you know, some of the biggest fear that we have to overcome is the fear of failure. Hallelujah. How many know you've got to have a vision for what you want in your life? Amen. Does anybody have any desires in here? Any dreams? Anything you want to accomplish in your life? Hallelujah. Are there any adults in here that still have dreams in your life? You still have vision. You still not sure what you want to be when you grow up. Yeah. Good. Then I'm not in the room by myself. I'm still not sure what I want to be when I grow up. But how many know, we went on a trip, I said this Sunday, we went on a trip with Jake Havoc, was fortunate to drive cross country in an RV, which was a dream of mine. Thank God for dreams that come true. Amen. That may seem like a little thing to you, but for this little country girl, it was something I wanted to do. I never made time for myself to do it, but God fulfilled that dream for me. But sitting in the back of that pickup truck, driving across the country, God spoke to me and he said, your dreams are not big enough. And he told me to tell this group of kids in this camp right here, your dreams are not big enough. You need to dream bigger. You need to dream higher. Hallelujah. You need to believe in yourself, believe in your dreams. Hallelujah. You have to be able to see it, to sculpt it. We went to Mount Rushmore. We went to Crazy Horse and saw that. If you ever get a chance, it's phenomenal. But how many know before they could start carving that in the side of the mountain, somebody had to see it in their head first. Somebody had to dream the dream. Somebody had the vision. And then somebody had to start somewhere. I mean, no, sometimes you just got to start somewhere. You got to put one foot in front of the other and just move out into something. But I don't know how you wake up one morning and say, I see an Indian and a horse and a hand coming out of the side of that mountain, and I think I can put it there. And what's beautiful about that is not only did that man start sculpting that, but his children have followed in his vision, and now they're sculpting Papa's dream. That's incredible to me. Hallelujah. How many know, I use this illustration all the time with my home church. And I think about the story of Orville and Wilbur Wright, right? The Wright brothers that decided that they could fly an airplane. I don't know how many dream crushers were in their path, but I'm sure probably there was two or three people that said, you know, Orville, Wilbur, you can't fly. Birds fly, bees fly, people don't fly. Hallelujah. But they got up one day and built a machine and they put some effort to it and they flew it. And guess what? It crashed. But thank God for people who get up one more time than they fall down. Do you know what? That's what brave is being. You get up one more time than you fall down. And they tried it again and they tried it again because they got up one morning and said, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Think about it every night and day. Fly away. And now I can get on a jet and be anywhere in this world I want to be because somebody dared to dream bigger or higher than where they were. Aren't you glad for that? That somebody's got to be a dreamer. Somebody's got to be a visionary. Hallelujah. And so you got to be able to see it, to sculpt it, to fly it, to float it, to paint it, to build it. You got to be a visionary. You got to dare to dream. Chief Red Horse said, when the legends die, the dream ends. When the dreams end, there is no more greatness. Well, that was a powerful statement. Hallelujah. It's your dream. Don't expect everybody else to understand it. I mean, no, Joseph's dreams lay dormant while he was interpreting everybody else's. Amen? You ever been there? It seemed like your dream doesn't come to pass, but everybody around you is getting what they dreamed, and their dreams are coming to pass. But what I love about the story of Joseph is he dreamed a dream, but the problem was he shared it with the wrong people. Not everybody's going to get your dream. Not everybody's going to understand your calling. Not everybody's going to buy into what God's spoken to you, but don't give up on your dream just because they don't buy into it. Hallelujah. But there came a day when Joseph was raised up. He was set in the house of Pharaoh. He was second to Pharaoh only. He had money. He had position. He had prestige. He had seemed like everything that he needed, but he didn't have his dream. But there came a time when his brethren came and bowed down. If you know that his dream was that his father and his brethren and all of them would bow down to him. There came a day when Joseph stood there and his brethren walked in. And the scripture says that Joseph turned and wept. And he wept and he cried. And I don't think he wept for what he lost. I don't think he wept for what they did to him. I don't think he wept for the prison. I don't think he wept for where he was. I think he wept because he said, I finally have seen the fulfillment of my dream. I thought it was delayed, but my God is faithful, and he has brought to pass everything that he promised. Though the vision delay, though it seems like it tarry, wait for it. I liked what Jack Williams said the other night. He said, sometimes we're waiting for a door to open, or God's spoken to us a certain direction, and then a door opens. It might seem like a good door, but it's not the door that God has opened for you. If God's put something in your heart, wait for it. Don't sell out for less than what he has purposed or called you to do. Hallelujah. The greatest source of bravery in you is the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not a brave person by nature necessarily. I don't consider myself a courageous or brave necessarily person, other than by the Spirit, you know, and that kind of stuff. But you let something try to take my children or my grandbabies or my family or my husband, and mama's claws come out. Amen. Bravery, all of a sudden, sense goes out the window, and you do most anything you could do for those babies and those grandbabies. Amen. I mean, no, bravery is just being able to face the challenge head on and saying, I got this one. Hallelujah. That the Holy Spirit inside of me knows more, sees more, and can do more than anything I can do in my own strength. Hallelujah. There were some spies that went in to spy out the land. And it was the promised land. And they go in and they spy out the land and they said, man, it is a land of milk and honey. It's a good land, but there's giants there. And they said, in that land, they said, you know, it's our land, it's our promised land, but there's giants in the land. And we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers, and so we were in their eyes. I mean, no, what they did was take on a grasshopper mentality. They forgot about what was promised to them. They forgot about what belonged to them. They forgot who they were. And so because they thought in somebody else's eyes they were grasshoppers, they became grasshoppers in their own eyes. I told our church, I said, I want a t-shirt that says fearless, and I want a grasshopper on it with a slash through it. No grasshoppers. Because they know if they're getting ready to go in for a job interview or they're getting ready to face something in their life, I'll text them and say, you're not a grasshopper. You're not a grasshopper. Remember who you are. You were born for this. You were born. This is your land. This is your promise. This was purpose for you. It's yours. Step into it. Take it. Don't live in a grasshopper mentality. And don't let giants stand where you're supposed to stand. You're not a grasshopper. Hallelujah. And so we come on down and through the chapters and through the story, and there's a young boy named David. Everybody knows the story of David, right? What's the most popular thing you think about when you think of David? He kills Goliath, right? Well, I love what Kevin preached this morning. I was going to do this sign, like, stop, because that's my sermon for tonight. Don't go any further than that. And he said before he ever faced the giant, he had faced a lion and a bear in his life. Amen? How many know he had a lion and a bear on his resume? But not a grasshopper. And so what I love about the story of David is he's anointed by Samuel, comes and pours oil on him. He's the ruddy, he's the small kid, he's the least likely candidate. You know all that story. And they anoint him to be king, right? And what one of the things I love about this story, they anoint him, you're the next king of Israel, and then what does he do? He goes back out to take care of sheep. No big pomp and circumstances, no parading around with a crown, and like, everybody look at me, I'm the king. Now, Papa just says, David, back out to the sheep. Because how many know if God's ever going to call anybody into ministry or call them to be a leader or a king, it's going to be somebody who has the heart of a shepherd. And see, what's happening is there's an anointing in this house for this people here this week. But when you leave here, you're going to go back to what you did before. It doesn't make you any less king, doesn't make you any less anointed, doesn't make you any less called, doesn't make you any less purpose, any less chosen until opportunity presents itself. So what happens is he's out on the taking care of the sheep, and Dad says, hey, David, I need an errand boy. I need somebody to take provision up to the brothers. I need somebody to take them some victuals. Check on the brothers. He said, Dad, you need an errand boy? I can be an errand boy. And so he takes it up to him. While he's up there, he hears the challenge of Goliath, right? And you know the story. And then Saul wants to put his armor on David, and David said, this is not who I am. One of the biggest problems I think we have done in church is try to mimic and make mini-me's after a pattern of what's been already established, instead of saying, you know what, you stand up and be who God's called you to be. You don't have to put my armor on. You don't have to look like me, talk like me, preach like me, or sing like me. You just need to be who God's anointed you to be. So he says, look, man, I can't do that. I'm clanging all around in this armor, and this just ain't me. So I'm just going to be who God's called me to be. I believe the reason that David could fight the giant is because he wasn't amongst the talk of the brethren who talk and smack all about fear and how afraid they are of the giant. He just steps in and says, who's going to handle this guy? But I mean, he already had a lion, and he already had a bear on the resume. But I love this story. You know what he does? He takes his slingshot up, and he challenges Goliath with his slingshot. And I just want to say to you tonight, if you don't hear anything else I say, find your slingshot. Find your slingshot. Your slingshot might be an iPad. It might be a pen or a pencil. It might be a paintbrush, a camera, a violin, a stethoscope, whatever it is, find your slingshot. Find what God has put in your heart to do, the desire he's put in you. And you know, sometimes I was thinking, sometimes, you know, we think, well, I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know if I'm supposed to be a preacher. I don't know if I'm supposed to be a singer. I don't know if I'm supposed to be a worshiper. I don't know if I'm teach Sunday school. I don't know if I'm supposed to work. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. There's not only just one path for you to do. Do you understand that? Let me just clear that. There's not just one thing. Because David was a man of many talents, and the most powerful thing about David probably was not his slingshot. It was his harp. Because when Saul calls for him, he says, bring him in. He said he began to play the harp. David had the heart of a worshiper. And when he worshiped, things happened. Evil spirits left. We don't know where David's slingshot is, but I do know where his psalms are. I do know where the scripture says, the Lord indeed is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And I know where I can find the songs of David and the psalms of David, because his harp was way more powerful than his sling was. Hallelujah. But he faces the giant with his sling, and he takes him down. You know that story. He takes the sword of Goliath. He cuts his head off, right? He doesn't even take a sword with him. Pretty powerful. But if you go down in that scripture on down, one that's always stuck out to me here recently is one of the favorite scriptures of mine. Saul says, who is this boy? Who is this young man who has just taken down this giant, this Philistine, this Goliath? And he said, well, he's the son of Jesse. He said, go get that boy and bring him here. Amen? And here's what I love about this. He goes in to, you know, they call him in. He just comes in from the battle. He said he took the armor, put it in the tent, but he walks into the court of Saul like this. You know what he's got in his hand? The head of Goliath. Hallelujah. He's got the head of Goliath, and he said, who is that boy's daddy? Who is your daddy? Who sired you, young man? Because somebody done put something inside of you that said you're not a grasshopper, you're a giant killer, and this is your land, and you are well able to possess it. I think maybe David might have heard some stories of the other generation that missed out on what God wanted to do because they thought they were grasshoppers, and David said, I'm not making the same mistake. I'm going to be who God called me to be. I'm going to take what he's put in my hand. I'm going to use what he has purposed in me, and I'm going to face it head on. I don't think David woke up that morning and said, think I'll kill me a giant today. But the giant presented itself, and David knew how to face it. Because he had prepared himself while he was out keeping sheep, writing songs, playing a harp, hearing from the voice of the Father. So when he got there, he said, this Goliath, he's no different than that lion and that bear, and I'll pile his head up on top of the other skins I got laying over here when I get done with this uncircumcised Philistine. Hallelujah. I mean, no, you need to find your sling and use it. Find out what God has purpose or put in your heart. What is it that makes your eyes bright? What is it that you're good at, that you're talented at, that God has placed in you, and that God wants to do in your life? Now, David's a great character because as mighty as David was, he also messed up. Amen? You don't have to raise your hand, but anybody in here ever blew it since you've been a Christian, ever made some bad choices, ever... You know, just a couple of you. Yeah, you didn't have to raise your hand, but you did. Come on. Hallelujah. But you know, there's a time where David runs from Saul, even though he's the anointed man. And he runs from Saul and he goes down into a cave, the cave of Adullam. And while he's in the cave, the scripture said he's in the cave with 300 men in a bad mood. That's what the scripture says. They're in debt. They're discontent and they're discouraged. That's 300 men in a bad mood. That's a bad place to be, right? The only thing worse, I'll say, is 300 women in a bad mood. That's like a bad place to be. Amen? And while they're in there, they're all singing gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. And the scripture says, but the Lord made him captain over them. And how many know David had two choices in that cave? I can either sing the same tune they're singing, or I can turn this situation around. I can either be a thermostat, or I can be a thermometer. I can either go along with the temperature that's already happened, or I can change the atmosphere in this cave, and I can bring somebody up out of this cave, and they find out they're as mighty and as anointed as I am. And I believe the reason David can do that is before he ever gets to the cave, he stops by the priest. And he goes into them and he says, do you have any weapons here? He said, man, we don't have any weapons here. We don't keep anything here. He said, oh, well, wait a minute. We've got the sword of Goliath. We've got the sword of Goliath. There's no scripture that I know of, and all these preachers in here can fix me if I'm wrong. There's no scripture I know of that David ever uses that sword. He didn't have to. Because you know what it is? It's a reminder of some past victories that says, wait a minute. I don't know why I'm hanging out with meerkats and warthogs, because I was born to be king. And he remembered the purpose and calling of God in his life. The sword was just a reminder, hey, I got some history behind me. I got some past victories. I got some skins and some lion heads, and I got some heads of some giants that's already been taken care of. God has never failed me before. He's not going to fail me now. We're coming out of the cave. We're going to rule and reign like God anointed us to do and to be. This is not what I was called to be, to hang out in the cave with 300 men in a bad mood. Hallelujah. Here's what I love about David. Mighty men train mighty men. David had in his company giant killers. David had in his company men who'd killed lions. You know why? Because if you want to be a giant killer, you need to hang out with giant killers. If you want to be a mighty man, you need to hang out with some mighty men. Hallelujah. I didn't mean to preach on the Lion King, but you know what happened with Simba when he forgot he was anointed to be king, right? He goes and hangs out with the warthogs and the Pumbas and all of them, and he forgets who he is till the old prophet bonks him on the head and said, "Who are you? You remember who you are. The pride land needs you. You need to go back and be the king that you were anointed to be." Hallelujah. But the scripture said there was a man in his company, and that man's name was Benaiah. Does anybody know who Benaiah is? Benaiah is the man who kills a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Not just killed a lion, but he killed a lion in a pit. And not just in a pit, he killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Hallelujah. How many know he was trained by somebody who knew how to handle lions? He was trained by somebody who knew how to handle giants. He hung out with people who could pour into him and fill him up and strengthen them. So, and it's what happens sometimes, we go to fight giants and we're unplugged. Instead of pouring into us, we've been hanging out with people who have drained us and haven't poured into us. Hey, adults are as guilty as kids are. How many know, you know, if you want to be a musician, you might want to hang out with musicians. Find somebody who will mentor you. Find somebody who will train you. Find some. I thank God for my cousin. I told this story before. I told you to slow down. I told this story before. You said about your parents buying you drums and things and instruments. And when we were kids, my dad brought my brother Jack a drum set, brought Andy a guitar, and bought me an accordion. So right here in front of you tonight, champion accordion player. No, not really. Not really champion. But my dad bought that, and my parents, you know, my mom bought that for us so that we could learn to play. But I thank God for my cousin who would sit on the organ or the piano, and she was a great musician, and she would say to me, "C." And I would play C, and then she'd say, "Go on to F." And I would go up to F. And then I'd go back to C, and she'd say, "G." And I would change to G. And she was patient to set and teach me C, F, and G. That was the chords in C. For a musician, you know, that's a very basic idea of a chord progression or whatever. But she was faithful to set and teach me. And today, my daughter is the keyboardist that plays here in this church. Somebody poured into me, not to the, and I don't have the ability that they have, but somebody was willing to pour into me because I hung out with people who were musicians because I wanted to learn how to play. If you want to learn how to do something, you need to hang out with somebody who can pour into you the anointing or the purpose or awaken that calling that's in your life. Amen. Mighty men train mighty men. Sometimes you just got to hang out with giant killers or people who will empower you to do what you've been called to do. Hallelujah. David gives a command to Solomon and tells him to be brave, be strong, be courageous. The same thing Moses says to Joshua and those scriptures that come through. How many of Solomon stepped into a vineyard that he did not plant? He stepped into a kingdom that he did not start. But because somebody dared to believe ahead of him, somebody dared to believe he was a giant killer, he set Solomon up for and established him in a place that he could start from there and go. Amen? How many know a lot of us have been able to just step into what somebody else has dreamed, somebody else has visioned, and go from there and build on that because somebody dared to pave the way, somebody dared to stand up and say, "We're going to change our direction, we're going to change our lives, we're going to change our course of history." You may not come from that kind of family. You may not come from a family that maybe has a background in church. We may come from all different directions, but guess what? You can be that person. You can be that one person that says, I love what Dee said this morning. I made up my mind. I wasn't going the way that everybody else had gone before me. And I graduated high school and I graduated college. And my kids are getting ready to go to college because I made up my mind. I was more powerful than I know. And I wasn't going to follow in the same direction that some had gone down ahead of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are more powerful than you know. But you got to find your slingshot. Find what God has put in your hand. Find what he has given you. And like I said, you know, David's wasn't just a slingshot. It was a club. It was a harp. It was whatever he was needing. And here's what I'm closing with this. Here's what I love about David. Father sends him up. David, I need an errand boy. Can you be an errand boy? You need an errand boy, Dad? I can be an errand boy. David, I need a shepherd. You need a shepherd, Dad? I can be a shepherd. David, I need a giant killer. I can be a giant killer. David, I need a worshiper. I can be a worshiper. David, I need a king. I can be a king. I love what he said. If you can't be faithful over a toilet brush, you can't be faithful behind a microphone, because it's the same level of ministry. Amen? It's the same level of ministry, because what we have to do is make ourselves available. If David didn't do anything else, he made himself available. Whatever the Father speaks, that's what I'm going to do. Wherever you need me, Lord, that's where I'm going to be. Whatever you called me to be, that's what I'm going to be. Amen? My parents had me preaching on a radio broadcast when I was just little. Then they took us to prison ministry when I wasn't much bigger. I didn't have a driver's license even. We went to prison ministry. And we would go there and minister, and I'm thinking, I don't have a clue what you do. I'm like the boy that said this morning, I went there for 2 days. I didn't care to ever go back there. When he said that he was there, you know, and I'm like, I have no clue what I'm supposed to say to these people, because I got saved when I'm 3, and the worst thing I did was probably wet my pants. At that point, I really didn't have no big sins behind me. I hadn't committed any real crime, and I'm not saying that is any glory to me. I told my dad, I said, Dad, I don't have a testimony. I don't know what I'm supposed to tell those people. You know, you get them, tell your God delivered me from drugs, he delivered me from alcohol, and, you know, I didn't have any of those testimonies. You know, I hadn't been delivered from a whole lot at about 12 and 13 years old. Thank God. Thank God for that. But he said the greatest testimony is God was faithful to keep you. He didn't have to deliver you. See, there's something to be said for the faithfulness of God that can keep you from going in that rebellious direction, or from going and trying to get away from the calling of God, but just embracing the calling of God in your life and say, here am I, God. Send me whatever you want to do in my life. I'm here. David made himself available when it's time to be king. He knew how to serve. He knew how to be a king because he knew how to serve and how to make himself available to the gifts and callings of God. And every place that God took him, God has taken me in different directions over my life. And I think, what in the world am I doing here? And why this? Only to find out that God weaves a tapestry of our life, of all of our experiences, all of our training. Even sometimes people we run into that we work under, or we like or we don't like. We learn just as much from our failures as we do from our successes. Amen. And so God takes everything, every part of that, and then makes it a part of who we are, and we can minister out of that. I don't believe you have to have a mess to have a message. I believe God can take your mess and make a message, but I don't think you have to get a mess to get a message. I think it's a greater message to say I didn't have to go through all the mess to get where I am. The faithfulness of God was enough to keep me, hallelujah, where I'm at. Hallelujah. You guys can come ahead and come on up and start to play something. We talked earlier about, and Jeremy mentioned this, what it means to hear God's voice. People say all the time, I hear the Spirit of the Lord speak to me. And he said, it sounds like the person in my head. And that's a good description of that. And you know, we sometimes think, like you say, that it's this outside voice and it comes across in a ticker tape, or it comes across, you know, like this real clear, loud. For me, it's just a feeling that quickens in my spirit, something that kind of jumps or is quickened in me. It almost reminds me of the sound that when my phone goes off because I got a message. It's kind of like ping, God speaking. You know, it's like ping, you know. And, you know, it's God prompting your heart, impressing himself upon you. And I can remember as a little girl thinking, Lord, what is my calling? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? You know, and then saying, please don't, you know, some of the songs, you know, God's going to send me to some crazy place and I don't know if I can do it and all of those kind of things. But I just remember as a little girl just, you know, wanting the will of God in my life, feeling his tug, feeling his presence, not knowing what to do with it, where to go, what to do, you know. And all of those kind of things. And I was sitting back at my desk before I came out in my office. And I was just pondering, you know, Lord, just you speak tonight. I don't want to speak. I want you to speak. I want it to be your anointing, your will, your purpose. And laying on my desk, there's a stack of old pictures. Old pictures. They're, you know, like almost black and white, but not quite black and white. We did have color when I was a child. But in this picture, I'm standing there. I look like I'm probably about 10 years old, and I'm crying, and I have my hands raised in the air. It's the meeting that Jack and Lynn and them rededicated their life back to the Lord. Picture of Jack standing there. Picture of Lynn standing there with his arms raised. Picture of Curtis standing there worshiping the Lord. And I looked at those pictures and I thought, Lord, from a young age, you touched my heart. And you've been faithful. You've been faithful to our house. You've been faithful to my family and to our children. You can speak at a young age and know the voice of the Lord. I didn't know what he wanted to do in my life. I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I'm still trying to figure that all out. Because he said to me, your dream's not big enough. I said, Lord, help me to dream bigger. Help me to dream higher. And help me have confidence in your ability to perform in me what you want to do. And so I'm coming to trust that Holy Spirit inside of me, just like all of you are. But the Holy Spirit is inside of you. The giftings are in you. The callings are in you. But what I want to do tonight in specific, I think, and I'm hesitant because I don't want to leave out any kind of ministry or anything like that. But if some of you adults will work with me on this, and I don't mean that adults have it and children don't, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But what I would like to do, if you feel this week, if you feel in your life that there's been a calling of God in your life for ministry, particularly. Now, ministry can be in a whole lot of different areas. I believe God uses, find your slingshot. It might be an ink pen. It might be a stethoscope. It might be a political platform. It might be, God knows we need godly people in the White House. Amen. Hallelujah. I want people, you know, in medicine that are going ahead of us, and I want to plant vineyards for the next generation to reap the benefits of what God has imparted to this generation. So what I'd like to do is if there are pastors in the house, if you come and stand up here with me, if there are teachers in the house, children's ministry, worship, media ministry, if you would come to the front with me, and just, if you'll help me minister for just a little bit. And please don't feel like I'm limiting you to a particular, that's the only calling you can have, because I don't believe that. But if you particularly feel called in those areas of your life, what I want you to do is, let's do it like this. Pastors, if I can have, well, we got children ministry. Let's do children's ministry right here. And let's do pastors right over here. And let's do worship ministry right here. And we can do apostolic here if you want. We can do missions over here. And here's the thing, because a lot of these people can step into a lot of different categories, because there's not just one gifting. Amen. There's not just one place to step into. And if you're in there, everybody stand to your feet with me tonight. If you're in here tonight and say, Lord, I've been praying and I've been seeking for your will in my life. David Thomas, before I go any farther, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me earlier, and he said to tell you, just breathe. To just breathe. That you've been trying to sort things out in your mind, directions to go, and what God's called you, and what your purpose. You don't want anybody else's voices, anybody else's idea, anybody else's calling. You want to do what God has purposed in your heart, and God said to tell you, just breathe. Because when you begin to relax and just rely on him, he's going to start opening doors for you. And when he does, you're going to know it's a divine opportunity. And you're going to know that God made a way for you to step in what he's called you to do. So he said to just tell you, relax and take a deep breath. Because the anointing and the calling and the giftings of God are in you. And he's going to perform what he's called you to do. Hallelujah. So if you identify with one of these ministries tonight and you feel like the Lord is calling you into that ministry and you would like to be prayed over tonight, not that they're going to impart necessarily anything into you, because the gifting and calling's already in you. They're going to activate what's already in there. They're just going to release what's already in there. So go ahead and step out of your seat, find somebody to pray with, and just find somebody to connect with, and just begin to believe God to activate the gifting and the calling of God in your life. Hallelujah, for you to step up and be what God's calling you to do, and let them just be into agreement with you. Hallelujah. Go ahead and just find somebody across here and just connect with them. Hallelujah. Go ahead and find somebody and connect with them. Go ahead and dare to be brave. Step out and say, God, what is your calling? I just want to, maybe it could be a couple of different ones. That's okay. Find somebody. Just find somebody and connect with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it can be adults or children. If you're an adult in here and you want prayed over for the calling or gifting of God, if you need direction in your life and you want us to pray over you, this is the spot to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The rest of you, if you want to step up behind them and minister to them, you're welcome to come on up. You're welcome to pray with them. Hallelujah. Lord, we activate the gift of God. We activate the gift of God. We activate the prophetic gift in this house. We activate the ministry. We activate the worshipers in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kuranda moko sika talala mohandai. Rima mama handai shika talala mohandai. Kuranda moko sika talala mohandai. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we just activate the gifting of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Kuranda moko sika talala mohandai. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Kuranda moko sika talala mohandai. Rima mama handai shika talala mohandai. Kuranda moko sika talala mohandai. Rima mama handai shika talala mohandai. Father, we just stir up the gifting and calling of passion. Lord, the fire of passion that burns in Morgan's heart. Lord, we activate the prophetic in her. We activate the gifting. We activate the worshiper in her. In Jesus' name. Lord, we release her. We stand against every negative voice trying to speak contrary. In Jesus' name. And we release the giftings in this woman of God. In Jesus' name. We release the giftings, God. We release the innovation, God. In Jesus' name. Rima mama handai, shika talala mohandai. Kuranda moko sika talala mohandai. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Lord, we activate the anointing and give power and gifting of God in this young man. Father, I stir up the anointing. I stir up the Holy Ghost. I stir up the gifting. Father, we just claim and just release the calling and gifting of God in his life, in his heart, in his mind. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Rima mama handai. Shika talala mohandai.
Thank you.